And we've got our first of three guests in studio with us right now. We've got Judge John Maroldi joining us here in studio. Judge, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
Well, obviously, we've got a myriad of different topics we want to get into, but, you know, of course, the Lorain County Recovery Court. Been around 2.5 years now. September of 2015 right. is when this whole thing launched. For those that aren't aware of the ins and outs and the purpose of this, if you could just kind of elaborate on all of those for those who are not privy to it.
Sure. So the Lorain County Recovery Court started operation, as you said, in September of 2015. It was actually a year in the works before it launched. We had to get certification from the Ohio Supreme Court. We had to put together a treatment team, and we had to attend national conferences so that we were sure we were instituting best practices. What it is it's a recovery court. It's a treatment court for felony offenders who are dealing with addiction primarily to opioids and opiates. It was clear to me within months of taking the bench that this was a huge problem in our county. Possession of heroin is a felony of the fifth degree, and my court, and I can certainly speak for the other five judges, the courts were becoming inundated with these low-level felony charges. And so when I started to see the faces of the people who were coming before me, it was clear that they were not your typical criminal defendants, that these were at least 50% women. They were young, in their 20s, and they were severely addicted and had a number of issues. And I'm not the first person in the criminal justice system to say we were not going to arrest or jail our way out of this problem. These people needed treatment. And it just so happened that now that they had become entangled in the criminal justice system, perhaps we have their attention. Perhaps we can provide a level of treatment to help them and get them sober and productive and out of the system. So that's the goal of the Lorain County Recovery Court.
What are some of the major differences between recovery court and criminal court?
Right. So the recovery court, as I mentioned, is a treatment court. So obviously I'm a judge. I'm not a treatment provider. So one of the biggest issues was gathering county resources, the treatment, addiction and treatment and mental health providers that we have, getting them on board, making them part of the treatment team. And we have the Lakota Way, more counseling, Firelands. We have Road to Hope for Sober Living, the Margo House for Sober Living, Primary Purpose for Sober Living. And so we provide treatment, they provide treatment to these defendants. The court's function is to enforce treatment, in a sense. We can't mandate treatment, especially we can't force them to take any type of medication-assisted treatment, but we can certainly make sure that they attend their treatment, mm-hmm. that they fully participate, that they abide by sober living rules. And we use the fact that there's felony charges kind of still hanging over their head to motivate them. I tell them, look, we want you in the treatment court. We don't want you in the criminal court. But at the time you demonstrate to us you're not interested in treatment, you're going over to the criminal court with all the consequences that follow. So that's the main difference.
Sure. Judge Maroldi, was there a basis in place anywhere that you guys kind of looked at as you put this recovery court together?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, yes. Unfortunately, Lorain County was slow to the specialized docket and the drug court. We were probably one of the largest counties that did not have a drug court or recovery court. So I went down to Columbus. I attended a number of seminars. I went into counties where they were running the drug courts, met with the judges and their treatment teams. And so I had a pretty good template to create the court. And then the Supreme Court of Ohio became involved because this is an entirely new docket. You generally have, well, you do have a civil docket. You have a criminal docket. And this court would fit into neither. So we created what's called a specialized docket. And the Supreme Court had to certify that, and they had done that with other courts in the past. So the template was there, But we did create our own court.
Judge John Maraldi is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, talking about the Lorain County Recovery Court. Now, it's been just over a year now since that first graduating class. Mm-hmm. How has this process changed, and how have things changed as a whole since this whole thing was launched back in 2015? I know you mentioned that really the goal in the whole success of the entire operation is sobriety, but how has this thing changed since it launched in 2015?
Well, I mean, like any new venture, you learn as you go. I think that we've, in one way that it's changed, is we've expanded eligibility beyond just opioids and opiates, people addicted to crack cocaine, meth, et cetera. And it's important to note that the prosecutor's office would have to be on board with these programs, and they had to agree to all the eligibility requirements. And once they did that, we were able to expand the court so that we can offer this to more people. We've also made it more of a court of alliance rather than compliance. And that's really been the biggest change. And what that means is this. If we're getting people sober just because they're complying, meaning they're just, well, we're watching their every move, we're drug testing them 3 times a week, we're meeting with them once a week. If all they're doing is complying, then we can keep them sober, but they really haven't bought in. If they look at us in terms of an alliance, a partner who's really trying to help them, when they start to trust us, and this is huge, the defendants don't trust that the courts are really out to help them and treat them. They think they're there to punish them. So that's been the major shift, is building an alliance. And how do we do that? I don't wear my robe. I don't sit up on the bench. I try to personalize this court, and one of the things that we do is we acknowledge sober days. I mean, if you were able to see the court, you'd be amazed. When we announce their sober days, there's a round of applause, there's a handshake, there's a good job, there are rewards, because it's hard to stay sober, especially with the pull of this drug. And we've got people with 200-300 sober days, but we celebrate that person. We celebrate the person with 5 or 6 sober days just as much as we do that person who's done 200 or 300. And we want them to see that we're with them, we're aligned with them. And once that happens, and they engage in significant sober support help, then our hope is to launch them on a life of sobriety and productivity. And that's really the goal.
Sure. With the opioid epidemic, mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like it's one of these things that was kind of getting worse before things started getting better. From the recovery court standpoint, how do you guys judge success off things? I mean, obviously, the sober days are right. A big thing.
Sober days are a big thing. We have not had a single overdose death. And I'm not measuring the program by
sure,
that, but
sure.
It's just to it emphasizes just how dramatic this addiction is. And we have about 90% of our drug tests are clean. We've done about 3,000 drug tests. Less than 3% are positive for opiates. That's huge. But we really judge success by somebody completing the program, 13 months of sobriety, employment, reengaged with their family, mm-hmm. and out of the criminal justice system. And we're currently at a 50% success rate for graduation. And again, that may not seem like much, but this particular drug, it takes 4 to 7 times of a good try at recovery before it takes. And the pull of this drug, when people know that their friends have died, and most of these people have at least 2 or 3 people that they know that have died from this drug, and mm-hmm. they still crave it, that tells you something about the pull of this
sure.
drug. So we're thrilled at a 50% success rate for our graduates.
And it's interesting, too. I want to go back to, you know, last year, the first graduating class. And I know, you know, there are obviously a lot of emotions taking a look at that first class. How closely have you been able to monitor those that were in that graduating class? I mean, here we are now, what, 13 months, maybe right. 14 months after they've graduated?
Right. We're currently operating under a federal grant, SAMHSA, the Substance Abuse Health Services Administrative grant. And so that requires us to follow up with our graduates and to keep track of them, and we've done that. And the majority of them have done well. There have been a couple that have relapsed. And I'll just tell you this one story to kind of put things in perspective. The very first national conference I went to on drug courts in Washington, D.C., there was an initial meeting with just the judges, and it was informal, and the judges were to ask questions. And I had not started the court yet, but I went there to see what it was like. And this one judge stood up, and he said, "I'm really struggling with my graduates who have overdosed and died." And I just thought, what? And that was a real eye-opener, that you can do everything and you can still lose people to this drug. So,
well, it seems like people always have questions. And I think with something like this, they don't always know if there's an appropriate time to ask questions, and they don't know what questions always to ask. So for those out there listening that might have some of those questions, what can they do in order to get involved and find out more information?
Well, here's the problem. It's a felony recovery court, which means you're eligible if you have a felony. All right. So, you know, what I'd really like to see is our country address this at a community treatment level. All the money that we're pouring into the criminal justice system, it would seem to me it would sure make a lot of sense to put these resources up front, education in the schools, treatment. It's so difficult to get a sober bed in Lorain County. But if you're in the recovery court, we have these people on our treatment team, and we can probably make it happen sooner. But if you're just a parent out there and you're dealing with a son or a daughter who's addicted to heroin, the questions you need to ask are, who are the agencies that I can call? More Counseling, the Licata Way, Firelands. The issue becomes treatment dollars. Medicaid is scaling back significantly, unfortunately, for treatment, but there's still an option there. They may have some grant money. But you want to call, if you have questions about what can you do, you want to call these agencies, or Primary Purpose, or Road to Hope, or the Margo House. And these people, I will say, these people are, in our county, are committed to helping people who are struggling with this addiction. So.
Good stuff. Well, Judge Maraldi, this was a lot of fun. It was such a blast to have you in here. You're the second Maraldi that's actually sat in that very same seat. We were telling you earlier, we had your cousin David on with us a few months back, and you were nice enough not to spoil the ending of that book just yet, as Mr. Douglas and I are still working on the finish. But, Judge Maraldi, this was a lot of fun. Thank you for coming in studio.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
All righty. Judge John Maraldi joining us here talking about Lorain County Recovery Court.